other dimensions. Be life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia.
I'm Sylvia Avery, my husband Mick and I are spirit mediums and authors, and this show is about bringing you new insights into the reality of your world. We come from the perspective that armed with truth and knowledge, we can all have the opportunity to move forward in harmony and create a better world in the process. This week's show is about global warming, and if you would like to know more about us, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Now, we're live tonight, so if you'd like to join us on air with a question to the spirit world about global warming, then we'd love to hear from you. We'll probably be taking calls from the bottom of the hour. The number is 888-268-4313. I'll say that again, 888-268-4313.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on blogginservice.com and bbsradio.com every Monday at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time and every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we also have another show called Spirit Teaching on Tuesdays at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on artistfirst.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and live on the Spirit's Work show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay. Gregory comes as spokesperson for a massive group of experts who specialize in many different subjects and genres. Each week, we have a different topic of discussion, which hopefully gives you at least something to think about and that may even expand your awareness and consciousness in a positive way. Unfortunately, I actually miss out on everything because once I go into the trance state and Gregory comes through, I'm not aware of anything at all until I come back at the end of the show. But you're in good hands because Sylvie will look after you. So I'll say goodbye for now and have a great show.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, this is what makes Mick's gift so unique, because when Gregory is talking to us, it's not words taken from Mick's mind and repeated, but the complete personality of a non-physical being from the other side of life. Gregory has come as a representative of the White Cloud Group through a desire to help us, which is why this educational group was formed in the first place. Gregory himself walked the earth 300 years ago, and the group itself has had many hundreds of years of preparation to do this work. And even now, there is continued exploration, research, investigations, and much study into all of the teachings that they bring for our benefit. So if you're ready to understand and realize the importance of spiritual evolution within a human lifetime, then this is the show for you. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit, to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and well-being of the planet. So, I do believe Gregory's here now.
Hello, dear friend.
Ah, hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend, little bird, and all of you. Once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here, and I am so privileged and honored, as I am always, in every state of my nature, in every facet of my personality, I am at your service.
Thank you very much. And we know that you've told us many times that one of the reasons that the White Cloud Group have come is because of the problems with our planet, the environmental issues, the worry about global warming in particular.
Yes, my dear friend.
So would you like to, I don't know where you'd like to start, it's such a huge subject.
Well, to begin with, my dear friend, you can see, perhaps at this very morning or at this very time that you are awake, you are aware of situations on your side of life in the physical world whereby you are in deficit of what had occurred the previous day. That is, that you are recognizing perhaps that there are situations to do with temperature, to do with climate change to do with the very air that you breathe. It appears is changing, and it certainly is. The whole climatic balance of your side of life is in a state of flux, in a state of almost unpreparedness for what event is about to unfurl upon it. And all of this has come about primarily through human activity. Now, I am well aware there are many on your side of life who profess to claim a completely opposite viewpoint, that is, of that it is a cyclical event, something which occurs in a fashion once every now and then on your side of life, in varying degrees of seriousness. Perhaps it may be that there are, through past history, there has been different situations of climatic change. There have been freezing conditions. There have been times when the earth has heated. And you can see much of the evidence of this through the core samples which have been taken either from soils or from ice or whatever that is. The problem you are experiencing now is that although previously there had been situations when many different species were wiped from the face of the earth, purely and simply because not manage the difference in the temperature and climate sequence of events. It really means that this is not a situation that you need to repeat, but that is repeating because principally of human activity. So I am very well aware also that many beings will continue to cite that this is nothing to do with human activity, that in fact it is just part of the cyclical change of events, as I say, part of the pattern of the Earth's rich tapestry. And it is not to say that we are sidelining this issue at all. We are well familiar with all of the events which have occurred during the momentous time of Earth's history. Different exchanges have occurred, partly to do with the tectonic plate shifts, which have really, I suppose, brought about the way in which your side of life is shaped today, the countries that you see, the earth masses that are presently inhabited by human beings and other species alike. It doesn't mean to say that just because you are the dominant species that you have to have a mind to dominate other beings in such a way as that whatever you do, they will fall detriment to your behavior, basically. So you have to adopt a state of responsibility. Some things, I suppose, that many will even use religion to dishonor, and that is a fact. Many people on your side of life will merely say perhaps that because of the second coming and everything going to be coming up smelling of roses, that there will be no need to even care or be mindful of issues of global warming and such as that, which are going to take place, because naturally everything will all be all right again in the end. It will be just the same perhaps as those who cite various visitations from good-willing alien races, other species from different worlds, whom may be connected with very many beings on your side of life. And I'm not rubbishing their connection in any way, but I'm saying that you cannot rely upon any other race to dig you out of the mire you have brought about yourselves. This is a case of responsibility and what you really must take on board yourselves, of your own behavior, not someone else's in their back garden, but yours in your back garden, what you behave, how you do things in your daily life, what you use in order to have an existence is not necessarily something that is ecologically beneficial to other races or other species. This, I suppose, is the very crux of the matter of what we are trying to bring about through the insights we are trying to paint, particularly in these kinds of programs. What we are trying to do is to show you that this is not something that certain scientists have conjured up in order to evaluate themselves in some higher standing or whatever, or that they're tree huggers, I believe you call some of them, or whatever it is. I find this an affliction of human beings to actually feel that they should demonstrate toward others of being lesser worth just because they care about the environment.
A lot of people, though, will say, you know, I'm doing what I can. It's not us. It's not the people that care, the small person in the street. It's these huge companies, the industrial companies.
Yes, of course, and so it is.
Yes.
Yes, but the point is that human beings buy their products. If they did not buy their products, then they would have to change their options. They would have to change their behavior because what they were doing, their behavior they were creating, was not actually giving them the wealth that they desired or that they were designed for. This is the point. People have to understand that there is self-empowerment here. And I'm not being political. I'm not trying to cause any long-term event effects to people's lives by saying that you are politically incorrect or that your behavior is of a certain slant or that you are even affiliated to a certain particular political party. I'm not interested. My interest is purely in how it will be that whales will continue to swim the seas, how it will be that walruses, porpoises, and all other creatures will continue to engage with the surface of your life. It is important that children who are to come after you do not learn about these beings from books only, or see them in the occasional zoo that may have managed to survive. Because the point is that many of these species will come toward their tipping point, will come toward their point of where they are no longer viable genetically. So this is a situation that you are presented with today. How are you going to change it? How are you really going to change the way in which you order your lives? It is, of course, most admirable for all of those who, for example, exchange their household waste. Excuse me. That they alter their household waste so that they compartmentalize it into varying different forms.
Recycling.
Yes, absolutely. This is so wonderfully simple, and yet it actually will create a great deal of good situations for your side of life. The problem is, however, that a large part of the battle that you have is to do with methane, and methane which comes from farm animals in particular, because there are far more farm animals than there ever have been any other species, any other single species, even accounting for the millions of bison or whatever that were wiped out from the face of the earth several hundred years ago, or even to do with all of the other different species of game and wild antelope or whatever it was that have been hunted through the ages.
That's interesting.
There are these beings you can account for in a certain extent, to a certain extent, because they actually live within the natural world. Their ability to survive is only in as much as the natural world will enable them to survive. Yet, if you breed cattle and sheep in close confined spaces, mm-hmm. or that you allow them to roam where there were previously forests, and you then destroy the forests in order to have more cattle, mm-hmm. do not forget that it takes far more acres for one cow to be able to feed a family than it does for that animal to actually survive in the wild and be able to grow within the nature, within the natural environment of that place. So what I am saying is then that you must really take very ready care. Surely it will be that if you continue to breed as a population density at the exact rate of which you are continuing at this present time, does it mean to say then that all society has to continue multiplying exponentially in order for them to continue their growth so that they will, as a society, continue to be able to be supported by their children in later years? It may mean that with all of these cycles of events, human beings are putting a greater impression, a greater pressure upon those on those other situations of the environment on your side of life than would otherwise necessarily be the case. You have to take a long-term view with how humanity is actually going to reach its epitaph and in what manner that epitaph will be written.
So are you saying, I was going to ask you a question similar to that, so are you saying that if we stopped breeding so much as human beings, haven't stopped having so many children, that that would help?
Well, the problem is, of course, yes, in a word, yes. But the problem is also is to do with eating habits. Now, naturally enough, I cannot say that children need that there needs to be definitely less children. The problem is to do with eating habits and what people and animals together produce themselves. This is the point I'm trying to make. So that if you wish to continue to breed like rabbits or whatever it is, then naturally enough, you are going to have to continue to have more animals to support that breeding regime. If, in this case, you continue to breed and it is not something that you even cross your mind with, but that perhaps all you want to do ever is in your life is to have children, well, that is all very well and good, and we are not saying that there are not millions of and billions of those in the spirit world who still want to have a human existence, but not to have it at any price.
Well, I guess, but it's a means to an end, isn't it? If it means that the planet, we're going to save the planet in the process of not having all these children at the moment, it's not much of a sacrifice when these spirits can have a physical life on Earth because we have done that.
Yes, quite so. Otherwise, the alternative is that you do not have a planet in which to inhabit as human beings. So that, I suppose, is the following problem. What then of all of those who expect to be returning again and again and again to the Earth planet so that they can continue their reincarnation existence? What then? If there is no Earth to come back to, does that mean to say then that your responsibility and your duty of care thus far has been annihilated simply because you could not be bothered to deal with it, you could not face it, you could not behave yourself in your present life? Does not that mean to say then that those species of whale or walrus or porpoise or buffalo or whatever it is, whatever animal it is that faces the curse of human extinction upon it, is it not to say that by being this, but by doing this behavior in this life now, that you are actually changing and altering what your children may have upon their table of life.
Yes, well, it would be good to start, because we all know about the things that are happening, and we believe it. Most people are getting to believe it now, aren't they? I mean, we could go into...
Yes.
We could go into the sewage, the PCBs, and the fossil fuel problems, and that sort of thing.
Quite so.
And it would be really good, maybe in the second part of the program, to start talking about positive things that we can do.
Of course, yes. The point to say, however, is that really the time is pressing.
Yes.
And I'm not being alarmist, I'm not being negative in saying this, I'm being positive that you must all get up and do something.
Mm.
You cannot sit on your thumbs any longer.
Mm.
You have to actually move. You have to make your voice heard. You have to bring positive physical action. That is what is necessary for you to change your planet. The circumstances which surround this present impasse, this present situation on your side of life, is something which needs the scales to be tipped the other way. That is, that all begin to understand, as many scientists do now, that global warming is a very real issue.
And that we can do something about it.
And that you can do something about it.
You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery and we're talking about global warming. And if you'd like to join us at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be taking any questions from the phone lines will be open then. And we'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-268-4313. That's 888-268-4313. So, what about earthquakes?
Earthquakes themselves really have very little to do with the global warming issue, apart from the fact of the normal tectonic plate shift, which is something which will continue to occur. I'm not saying that there will not be more of them at this present time, as it actually happens to be that there is more activity globally at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
It is made that this is something of great difference. You will be, for example, expecting earthquakes in certain places on your side of life. Certain places on the planet will have experienced earthquakes perhaps 300 years ago, and it will be something which comes in as a cyclical event. And so that is a fairly regular situation. There are, of course, to be some very devastating earthquakes which will happen to the Himalayas, and that will also happen upon the northwestern coast of your country, of the country of America, and also to the eastern coast of Japan. There will also be other earthquakes to do with Somalia and certain aspects of the eastern coast of Africa. There will also be other earthquakes around the Indian Basin, and to do with even more around Indonesia and that particular place, which is obviously a relative hot spot, as it were, to do with tectonic plate shift.
Mm-hmm.
And these are really situations which are, as I say, cyclical. They will continue to be. So it isn't to say that what you are experiencing now in the global warming situation is actually going to change these events. These events will continue to happen. It may be that there are slightly more of them because of various pressures building up because of the changes of water temperature, the way in which the various streams within the oceans, the ocean currents, will actually be changing because of these events of the atmospheric pressure and the lack of ozone layer.
Mm-hmm. So is the worst problem the seas, the ocean?
Actually, yes, it is, because the ocean is a far larger mass than land. And so, really, that is a much more delicate balance. If you have even a few degrees of shift in the ocean, it spells a great deal of problem for the rest of the planet. As I understand it, within the northern and southern hemispheres, it is that, in fact, the seas have risen by a considerable amount, far larger amount in degrees Fahrenheit than was actually first thought, or that scientific analysis had actually worked out in their graduation plan of how far global warming would actually move along through the days, months, and years of what you are to expect in your future.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is to say, of course, that this has actually changed the whole situation exponentially, because you had not, or those who had been studying it, had not actually realized that this was a cause for the concern that they now have.
Mm.
And so, what things then can you do to really change this? The point is that there are so many things that you can do in your forms of behavior, in sharing even your motor car with someone else if you are going to work on it as a daily event. And I'm not saying that everyone has to do this, but at least it is a plan, at least it is a beginning, so that you are not making so many trips, or that so many of you are making singular trips by yourselves. So if and when it is at all possible, it would be far better to share vehicles or to use public transport. I am well aware that many places do not have adequate public transport, and that is a point of social disaster, I feel.
Mm. Yes. And also, I was going past a car the other day, and they ran on natural gas. And I thought, well, where do they get that from? Because that's the problem, isn't it?
Yes, of course. It is a problem with any new technology or any new decision to use different systems, to use different fuels, if you like, that as they begin to come in, then because of their rarity, it is actually meaning that you are restricted by your ability to travel in that vehicle very far.
Yes.
You have to perhaps keep around your own locality in order to continue to be able to gain that fossil fuel for it. This isn't to say, of course, that it will always be the case. It is just there at the beginning. It is just the same, surely, with wind turbines or whatever, that at the beginning they were somewhat cumbersome, look ugly, of course, but that, in fact, gradually as technology evolves and the situation is increased, therefore it will be that more and more mean that they will be cheaper to produce and that they will become actually more efficient as the technology grows.
Mm, yes. And, I mean, there's cars that run on water anyway, isn't there?
Yes, friend.
I mean, that's been around for a long, long time.
For many years. It is a great shame that they have been disallowed to make most of it public. So, then, this is really just the tip of the iceberg, as it were, to do with public transport, surely, is something which is much more beneficial, can actually be of greater service to humanity in the way in which it can transport large numbers of beings for a reduced amount of fossil fuel to be used. It appears, however, that there is this mindset that there must always be this trying to find new forms, not of new forms of fossil fuel or new forms of energy, but really just trying to find new wells or new concealments, new containments of the same fuel that you are already using. That, I feel, is a very short-sighted way of trying to continue the situation. Surely it would be better to place more financial gain and and enterprise into the actual use of finding further alternatives. There are many scientists, I am well aware, who will be at this very moment trying to bring about different technologies, newer technologies for these different substances. However, obviously, water is a very admirable commodity to use for power of any sort. Now, is it to say then that those water turbines that you are using at this present time for electrical power, hydroelectric power stations, have been around for many years, have actually created or helped to create absolute changes in the way in which electricity has been able to be produced for different societies and towns and villages and cities and so forth? It really means that surely it is a very good way, a very simple way of actually being able to utilize water energy in this way.
Mm.
It is also critical that not more of these are built, but that they are well maintained, and that perhaps during the evolutionary process it will be that the more turbines are used which are technologically superior to those that had been used in the first instances of the building of them. It may well be, of course, that gradually there will be new technologies for changing the ways in which you utilize the actual waste products that you use, that you produce yourselves, and that there are many moves afoot in order to change this situation as well, so that you do not just bury it in drifts or whatever, trying to fill up valleys, or vast valleys of cans and other rubbish that you produce. It is, of course, even lamentable that many still fill ships and take the rubbish out to sea and drop it there.
Bizarre. That is so bizarre. That's dreadful.
Yes, absolutely so. I do believe my home country actually does that itself.
Does it?
Yes, but not only to their household waste, but also to low-level radioactive waste as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to share it with the fishes.
Mm. And we'll go on to that now.
Yes.
Yes, I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about global warming. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-268-4313. 888-268-4313. Gregory will be here to answer your question. We're talking about the sea. I know that we've talked about whales a lot in the past. It's something that is very dear to our hearts, but it's also rather more important that we can even think, as far as sensitivity goes, for the earth. The well-being of the whale.
Yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. This is because whales are the creatures who epitomize the condition of your side of life. If you're angry at one another, that is one thing. You would feel the negativity which comes from one another in situations of division or violence or negativity. You feel different situations that occur in your behavior toward the planet. It will be whales who will actually feel the kinds of situations you bring about to the planet first. And that is because they are at the very top of their food chain. They are, in fact, not just large animals who have small brains for the size of them, but that actually are very deeply spiritual creatures. They have an ability to resonate with one another over great distances, to share their songs, and also to communicate great patterns, and through their form of language, they are able actually to transmit emotions from one to the other across hundreds or even thousands of miles. Whales themselves are very advanced spiritually. They are the actual essence of what you dream to be, but may never reach. It is, in fact, that whales are so important that it is actually quite extraordinary how human beings have failed to see it. Even throughout all of your understanding, all of humanity's understanding, throughout all of the many thousands, hundreds of thousands of years that human beings have been in existence, it has never failed to surprise me just how little human beings really truly understand about whales and their formidable capability of their own behavior, their own emotional behavior, and their spiritual endeavors are really quite astounding. Unfortunately, the pollution that humanity brings across to your side of life is not only to do with your effluent, to do with the waste products of things that you leave behind or whatever, it is also to do with the mechanics of the actual noise vibration that you make, which upset so many other creatures from their natural habitat. This is perhaps why it is so important that your activity in the oceans are restricted to a certain extent. There are actually only so many fishes in the sea. It is not a limitless place, even though you may think that the oceans are as big as they are. It doesn't mean to say that fishes live in all of it. Fishes actually only live in a small fraction of the ocean sea. It is that for the whole bounty of it, you really would, for example, only occupy one small island, and yet you have amassed yourselves all over many continents, many thousands and thousands of square miles of earth. In the same way, fishes, and particularly whales, or whatever mammal or whatever marine creature that happens to be, they do not dominate their world in the same way that you dominate yours. And I am not absolving myself of blame for this. All of we in the spirit world are all a part of what has occurred now. That is why we are communicating. That is why we are voicing our opinion. It may be that many people feel that people who have no longer a part to play in physical life should be quiet and leave those who are living to continue in their own way. But that would be a monstrous outcome, would it not? For you to feel that you could continue careering around your planet with unwitting irresponsibility, to purely say, like children, that you can just continue to do whatever you want and destroy it if that is what you wish to do. What I'm saying about whales and other marine creatures is that their lives, their very intricate balance, is so necessary to the well-being of the planet of Earth, and therefore the well-being of humanity to continue in existence. Otherwise, without it, you would be nothing. And we, too, would all be without a planet, a home planet, in order to continue this species, this form. It doesn't mean to say that it won't be continued elsewhere on other planets like it is already, but that for human beings of Earth in particular, it is important that there is this more caring attitude and awareness of their own duty of care.
Mm. So, can you talk to us a little bit about the rainforest?
Yes. Contrary to popular belief or the belief of some, it is not good practice to reduce the rainforest. There have already been massive reductions in different forests across your side of life, and this has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. The problem being that if you do not plant three more trees for every one that you cut down, you are, in fact, grossly depleting the Earth's natural resources to begin with. If you do not replant what you have taken away, then surely, once again, you are leaving other generations with little to do, with little scope. The very fact of harvesting natural forest in the way that is happening at present by clear cutting or by complete extinction, really, is something which is totally untenable and completely useless. Some may say that they are doing this to create farmland. Soya beans, in fact, are mostly grown in areas where rainforests have been destroyed. And that is a fact. And that it is really that more pressure needs to be placed, once again, upon those who are indiscriminately carrying this out, particularly in Brazil, I have to say. And that it happens to be that, you see, although it is designed that farmers there are supposedly only supposed to cut down 20% of their land from of forest to be able to continue to provide a form of arable farming, it actually means that the remaining percentage is really only there as a piecemeal. It is there, and they are told that they are really supposed to not cut it down, but that they actually, the other, I believe it is 80% of it, that they are allowed to do with as they need to. Mm. And so that really gives those people an opportunity. And I do not blame them. I'm saying that they are put between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
They are actually cornered into this situation of having to destroy what little land that they do have. And because the point is that once you take away a rainforest from a particular place, it will never grow back again the same. And even if you replant that wooded area, you have already destroyed the soil from trying to farm it, because the soil is actually unable to sustain any form of arable farming, or particularly with animals either, that it is just simply not capable of doing that. And very, very shortly after having been cut down, I do believe it is within 4 years or something like that, that the land becomes completely useless, and that in fact what then happens is that you have these situations of large mudslides which actually wash away and bring into it minerals that otherwise would not have escaped. So you actually have quite a lot of poisoning going on within the waterways. And that is something which is also impacting upon those natives who still live within it, of course. And that is just one particular forest. I could go into the situations of Indonesia, if you wish, and to actually cite the very different and desperate situation there, which is actually to do with criminal elements and how they have stripped vast places of forest in that region. Of course, the endangerment there is to do with different species, as it is with all rainforests, to do with different species that actually live there. And, of course, unfortunately, the pharmaceutical giants who languish in such various properties of different plants or whatever to come up with remedies for human beings and their well-being, it will be that these places are actually a kind of well of opportunity that they have missed, because in rainforests there are many of the existing minerals, many of the very, very different and varied forms of flora that will enable new remedies to be brought on, to be examined and understood for new diseases that man has yet to face.
Cures for diseases that we haven't had yet?
Yes, absolutely.
And what about,
so,
what about cures for diseases that are here now that we can't?
Well, yes, quite so.
Cure.
There is that as well. Naturally, there are many of these situations still yet to be identified. It is a great shame, an important embarrassment, I feel, to human beings that they should worry one another so, that they should bully one another into these situations of having to make do with what they have, rather than exploring the possibility, the full possibility, of the intention of what exactly exists on your side of life.
I think people really are sort of, they can't believe that the Earth would not be here anymore.
Well, of course not.
But other planets have lost, other planets have lost their world.
Yes.
Haven't they?
Absolutely so. Yes. Many civilizations, dear friend, throughout the universe have lost their habitat completely, or have even been annihilated.
Through the similar ways that we are doing?
Through very similar ways of lack of responsibility, of being unable to foresee future events, or even have a hold upon some who wish only to line their own pockets with the events that they cause.
So
and really do not care, you see.
So what are some statistics then how long have we got to turn this around?
Well, actually, my dear friend, you have 19 years, and it is counting. That is nothing to do with the year 2012. It is nothing to do with the coming of this or that. It is nothing to do with anything of these cycles. These are mere sidetracks to the main event. The main event which faces you as a human understanding, if you like, is the interaction of yourselves with the climate of your planet. If you do not come to grips with this very quickly, then simply you will have run out of time. The point is that within 19 years, if you have not changed your habits, if you continue to pollute, if you continue to resist change, you will have passed the point of when whatever you do will make a difference. And it will simply be then a matter of time as to how long it will take for the Earth changes to be completed.
But even then, we're going to lose landmass, aren't we?
You are going to lose landmass in any event.
Yes, even if we do manage to turn it around.
Yes, because the point is, my dear friend, it has taken 250 years, or perhaps 300 years so far, to state of change already to the state that it has become. So it means then that it will take at least 50 to 100 years to stop it, even regardless of what you do now. So if you do many things now, if you all change your minds and turn everything around tomorrow morning, it will still take 50 years for it to reverse.
Right.
Or perhaps even longer than that. It could be 80 years or 100 years to reverse. That doesn't mean to say then that you can just sit back and pat yourselves and say how wonderful you are for having done that. This requires work and effort. It requires all things for you to concentrate yourselves. This is something far bigger than terrorism will ever be. This is something which will actually affect every single household, every single being on your side of life, and the representation that will continue on after you, of your genetic form, your children, your grandchildren. It will all be down to what you do tomorrow, what you do now, today, what you do this moment, how you write to those whom concern you, how you express your condition of communication, how you are able to bring across your rightful concern into bringing things to right conclusions. And it is possible. That is what I am saying. It is not something that you need to continue to bury your heads over, and that perhaps by the year 2012 you can think, oh, well, that's all right then. Everything will have changed now because it is the new spiritual evolution has been able to revive humanity into explaining and understanding their full mentality, and that the well-being is complete. It is not the case. It is simply not the case.
We have to work at it. So
you all have to work at it. All of us have to work at it on our side of life as well as on your side of life. We are working at it to try to bring our conscious effort to those on your side of life to help you to understand the very nature of your existence. The problem is many of you are continuing in disbelief to turn things around, to try to reinvent other situations or other reasoning for these events to happen. There is no other reason other than your behavior, and that is what has to change. It is just the same as how you would wish a person who stands on a street corner dealing drugs or whatever that is, whatever bad form of behavior that is, isn't that indicative of your lack of care as well as their own lack of care? Isn't it to say that you really should stand and say, I have had enough of this?
So it's education. Education, educating our children, educating everybody. Becoming, well, I don't know about vegetarian, but lessening the meat that you eat would help.
Yes, absolutely so.
Maybe not have so many children. Recycle. Boycott products that you feel are doing damage.
Well, there is no reason why not. The point is, in doing that, you actually invoke pressure upon them to change their minds.
Oh, absolutely. Vote with your feet.
Yes.
Join organizations to become a bigger voice.
Because you do know that it works. Because the more people that say, this is wrong, I have had enough, I am not going to tolerate this any longer, there will be pressure for change. And that is where it has to come from your heart. From your heart of understanding.
So the worst thing you can do is nothing. And we thank you very much, Gregory. It's been absolutely wonderful as usual.
Thank you so.
Come to time.
God bless.
Okay.
Everyone. Be happy, be peaceful, and positive.
I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal. knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.